Sarah, the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by You Build It. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? A Jason Rand exclusive.
I believe that when we have people in positions of power that abuse that power, that abuse their constituents, that act out in despicable ways, I think they need to be called out. I don't care if it's a story out of Seattle or Squim, Mukilteo or Marysville, Tacoma or Tahoma. Like that? You like that?
Wow, that was nice.
Yeah.
Good job.
We need to call these people out. Lisa Herbold is someone who needs to be called out. She's a hypocrite. And not just a hypocrite, I think she's purposefully acting out in a bad faith and mean-spirited way because she's desperate to hang on to a Seattle City Council seat that she is at risk of losing. We've been spending a lot of time talking about her in the last week. Certainly, if you read my blog at ktth.com, you will sense that. That's a clear trend. It's because when you decide to do things so despicable, so brazenly, and other media outlets aren't going to call it out, yeah, I will raise my hand proudly and say, I'll do it. Because something happened just a few weeks ago. Lisa Herbold decided to attack Phil Tavel, her opponent in West Seattle for the council seat, attack him for having mismanaged financial situations in his background. Specifically, he was tied to a business that had a tax lien leveled against it. Something like $24,000. And she used that to attack him. She used that to call out his character. She used that to call him someone who is undeserving of your vote and support. Now, keep in mind, this lien against the business is literally only attached to Phil Tavel in name. He doesn't own the business. He doesn't owe the money back. The business owner does. So right then and there, it's a shady attack. It's an unfair attack. But it is politics. But you know what really pisses me off? When I looked into her background, I found Lisa Herbold 3 weeks before she leveled that attack against Phil Tavel. Lisa Herbold and her husband, Robert Combs, they were hit with a notice of a federal tax lien from the IRS for $32,645.03. This according to a document that this show obtained. 3 weeks before calling out financial mismanagement against an opponent who worked for a company, didn't own it, she personally, her and her husband, personally received a notice of a federal tax lien. That seems to be problematic, to say the least. Yeah, that's the kind of hypocrisy that is just disturbing in how brazen it is. And she gets away with it, she thought, because she knows the Seattle Times is not going to cover this. Seattle Times wants her to win. Not the editorial department, who, by the way, yesterday came out in favor yet again of Phil Tavel, but the news department there, give her a pass. This is a story that's not really going to get picked up by anyone except us right here, which means I need your help in spreading this story, because this kind of disgusting, despicable attack against someone's character, knowing that this is in your background, this should disqualify anyone from considering her for election. And instead of answering some questions about this when I posed them to her, she ignored every single question about the tax lien and instead doubled down on her attacks against Phil Tavel. Ironically telling me, I am troubled by anyone who ignores or laughs off their debts. I certainly would not feel comfortable with a city council member who refuses to take responsibilities for his debts and his actions. Lisa Herbold refuses to take responsibilities for her debt. She literally ignores the debt. In fact, when you haven't paid your taxes and you get hit with a lien, guess what that means? You've literally ignored the debts that you owe the federal government. Shame on you. Shame on this campaign. Her husband takes all the blame for it. He told me in this very long email. They want us to give her a pass because it's her husband who's actually responsible. I haven't been able to independently verify any of that. But she wants us to say, you know, it's not my fault. My husband's fault. She doesn't tell us that, by the way. The husband does. She wants to give her a pass, but she has the audacity, while asking for a pass, implying that she wants a pass, to be fair. She wants us to not give that kind of courtesy to Phil Tavel, who actually has no connection in any meaningful way to the debt. Shame on her. This is what I need every single person to do right now. And it's very, very simple, because you know that the media is not going to cover this beyond this show. And that makes it that much easier for her to get reelected, to continue Seattle down this disastrous pathway that's spreading into your neighborhood wherever it is you live. I need you to text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770. I need you right now to take out that phone, put in the phone number 1-800-465-8770, and text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z. I'm going to send you that story. I need you to read this story. I actually spent a lot of time on it, so definitely read it. But more importantly, I need you to post it on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. I need you to send it to your friends and family members, even if they don't live in Seattle, because the fact of the matter is, when we get these types of stories to trend, when they get shared on Facebook, you may live right now in Squim or Kenmore or Bellevue or Tacoma, but chances are someone within your network on Twitter or Facebook live or know somebody in Seattle. Once you post it, it's going to get liked. Then it pops up on Jim's feed. Jim lives in West Seattle. Jim doesn't know who he's going to vote for. Jim will see this and say, wow, this is a despicable person. I do not want to give them the privilege of representing me in office. So I need you to text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770, or go directly to ktth.com and check out this story. I am sick and tired of people complaining about Seattle who don't want to help. I am sick and tired of people who say, I don't live in Seattle, it doesn't impact me. Tell that to the folks who live in Edmonds, who as a result of Seattle policies, bad Seattle policies, they had to deal with an attack on gun rights. Tell that to the folks in Kirkland and Tacoma who have to deal with the nonsense, thanks to Seattle, of banning plastic bags and straws. Tell that to the folks in Squim and Puyallup and Renton and Olympia dealing with bad homelessness problems because of the bad policies in Seattle. Tell that to the folks in Bellevue who right now have to deal with someone who's inspired, a Seattle progressive inspired to run for council there. Look around your neighborhood and tell me if you want Seattle policies to spread there. Some of you will be looking around your neighborhood and say, wow, it's already here. Some of you will say, God, I don't want to give this up. I like where I live. I like that I live in Shoreline. I like that I live in Woodinville. I love my neighborhood in Issaquah. Okay, then I need you to step up and actually help defeat these people. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770. And I'll go ahead and send you a link to my story. I want way more text messages than I'm getting right now. I want way more text messages. If you're someone who's never texted us before, I want you to make this your first text message. Text RANTZ to 1-800-465-8770. That's an unbetter tax resolution hotline. If you'd like to follow me on Instagram, please do. Instagram, fire up that app, search for the screen name Jason Rantz. It's all one word, J-S-O-N-R-A-N-T-Z. President is getting ready to speak at a rally. Depending on the timing of it, we're going to try to play at least a portion of it live. Before then, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? National.
So speaking of impeachment, which is assuming what the president is going to be speaking about today, because it's a talking point in his favor, Nancy Pelosi spent some time this morning sort of rallying the troops to get behind Adam Schiff. Someone who has acted with such dishonor, such abusive power, in how he talks about the president, pretending that he has access to evidence that he doesn't actually have access to, lying to the media about his office's contact with the whistleblower, pushing us down this road of impeachment despite not having any evidence to justify it. Nancy Pelosi decided to sing his praises today.
I'm very proud of the work of Chairman Adam Schiff Again, this is so solemn. None of us came to Congress to impeach a president. That's not what...
Wait, what? Hold on. Did you manipulate this?
No.
She said... Hold on. Maybe I misheard.
Came to Congress to impeach a president. That-
she said no one came to Congress to impeach a president?
Yeah.
Again, this is so solemn. None of us came to Congress to impeach a president. That's...
What about Rashida Tlaib?
People love you, and you win. Woo! And when your son looks at you and says, Mama, look, you won, bullies don't win. And I said, baby, they don't, because we're going to go in there, we're going to impeach them.
Wow.
She did say impeach and then the MF word, right?
Yeah, 100%. Okay. That's what was under the bleep.
You know when that speech took place? When she was just elected, it kind of sounds like she was elected to impeach the... How many people right now out there, Democrats, who are proudly proclaiming they are ready to impeach the president, which, by the way, Nancy Pelosi refuses to actually hold a vote on? Why is she refusing to hold a vote on impeachment inquiry, an official vote? Why did you give that speech 3 weeks ago? I don't understand. Because she this week made the announcement she's not ready to go for a vote. Why? Adam Schiff has evidence. Our very own Congressman Denny Heck says he has seen that this is essentially... a literal Manchurian candidate. Nancy Pelosi pretended that there was a meltdown yesterday with Donald Trump. Pamela Jayapal, Seattle Congresswoman, she's ready to impeach. Why not just vote for it?
Such actions are to be taken very solemnly, seriously, in my view, prayerfully. It isn't a unifying...
I'm sorry, did she say prayerfully? Oh, are we pretending that they're all about religion and God and faith? Okay, sorry. I'm sorry. I'll let her speak.
Thing.
But I mean, she'll speak in a second. That's nonsense, yeah? You're praying. What are you praying for? Praying that at some point soon you'll actually get the evidence that you haven't been able to find?
For the country have to go through this, but we do have to go. We do have to honor our oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. Our democracy.
She has to. Write that down in Jason's book of wisdom. I'm going to just own that. Let's just pretend I said it. You have to protect our democracy.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, write that down.
I'll quote you.
No, that... You're going through my scrapbook again. Don't do that. Go into...
That's what these pictures are.
Yeah.
Look at your afro. That's cool.
Okay, that's cultural appropriation. We can't talk about
it. Bring it back.
And our republic, as Benjamin Franklin said, a republic, if we can keep it. But it is our fight to keep it.
Okay, yeah. You're heroes. You're all heroes. Nancy Pelosi, you're a hero. Rashida Tlaib, you're a hero. Ilhan Omar, you're a hero. Adam Schiff, hero. Denny Heck, hero. All of them just total heroes. Elijah Cummings, hero. Although there's this piece in the CNN today announcing he died today at the age of 68. He died because he was dealing with a whole host of health issues, and unfortunately he succumbed to them. This is a guy who, regardless of our political beliefs of him, he was someone who was a mover and shaker in Washington. He was someone who's incredibly important in the civil rights movement, in gaining power in what he viewed to be an effective way for his community. And yet CNN decided to make this about a conspiracy, I guess, or tie it to Donald Trump, because if you don't put Trump in a headline, maybe you don't get clicks. Because when I saw the story, I didn't realize that he was sick. I was like, oh my gosh, wait, Elijah Cummings died? This is the title of their story. Representative Elijah Cummings, key figure in Trump investigations, dies at 68. Now, that kind of almost sounds like he died under suspicious circumstances. That, oh, he was looking into Trump. Remember, what do we know about Trump? He's a Russian asset. He's a spy. CNN likes to throw that around all the time. Tulsi Gabbard called them out because they called her, one of their analysts, called her a Russian asset. She's a Democratic congresswoman from Hawaii who's running for president, but she's a Russian asset. They like to throw that out there. They will tie anything they possibly can to Donald Trump. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in the media?
So we've been having conversations about the NBA and them trying to deal very poorly, by the way, with Chinese controversies and censorship against folks who are fighting on behalf of actual freedom fighters. People are putting a lot on the line in Hong Kong. Despite the threats of violence and actual violence, a lot of people stepped up and said, we're not going to allow you to take away our sovereignty. what the Chinese government, the communists in China are doing is dangerous and despicable. LeBron James goes ahead instead of, because he felt called, I guess, to talk about this, instead of defending people who are fighting on behalf of freedom and justice, he decided to criticize the owner of the Houston Rockets for speaking out and siding with folks in Hong Kong, which every single person who's listening to me right now should be siding with. We are on the side of Hong Kong because we support freedom. We support what's just and what's right. LeBron James, who has a lot of money tied to being friendly to China, thanks to his deal with Nike, which makes, what, $6.82 billion just in shoes alone in China? 2 weeks ago, South Park called all of this. Weirdly, they were able to foresee where this whole conversation was going, and they decided, I'm presuming they literally just put this into the show and created it within a few hours of the LeBron James stuff.
Oh, 100%.
Because LeBron James made the comment that we mocked Tuesday, I think?
Yeah.
And South Park aired this scene directly quoting LeBron James on last night's episode.
The right to free speech.
Yes, we do all have freedom of speech, but at times there are ramifications for the negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others and you're only thinking about yourself.
Whoa, what's going on, kids?
The protesters are trying to kill Eric again, Mr. Mackey.
Okay, kids, we don't want another incident here, okay?
They're trying to change people's lunch. They don't realize it harms people financially, physically, emotionally, and spiritually.
I love Cartman.
I mean, God, they are still so good at what it is they do. It's not just South Park calling out all of this nonsense. Senator Tom Cotton, Republican from Arkansas, he was on the Senate floor, and he called out the NBA executives who say they care about social justice. Well, you care about social justice, you're not really acting like it.
So instead of acting as a bullhorn for communist propaganda in America, the NBA could be a beacon of freedom in China. It could dare China to shut them out. So let me urge all of these NBA executives and players who say they care about social justice. Don't just speak out when the stakes are low for you personally or when the cause is popular among your friends. Speak out now when the stakes are deadly high for millions of Hong Kongers and more than a billion Chinese, including so many of your fans.
Good for him for speaking up. I do like this idea of, and it's funny, I remember this was last year whenever Colin Kaepernick got that deal with Nike and they decided to go all in, and I said at the time what they're doing, taking this social justice approach, Nike, is they don't care about Colin Kaepernick. They don't care about him taking a knee. People got upset and said, oh, they hate the troops too. No. They don't care about that. They were making a move to appeal to millennials, and they were proudly proclaiming themselves, we are the social justice company. We're not Adidas. We're not... Name another shoe company real quick.
Reebok.
We're not... Give me one more.
Puma.
We're not Puma. We're not... Give me one more. Just one more. This will be the last one.
Asics.
We're not them. We're Nike. We stand proudly next to Colin Kaepernick because we are woke. They did it only because they wanted the money. That's all. And what they're doing right now, or really what they're choosing not to do, which is speak up against Chinese censorship, they're doing it for the money. They're doing it to protect a profit. They're doing it because that's what's best for their bottom line. And you know what? I'm okay with that in a traditional sense of, if that's all that you're about, if that's what truly you're about, just about making the money, okay. Just stop being so insufferable. Stop pretending that you're a social justice company. Stop acting out like that. If you're all about the... Just come out and say you're all about the... Oh, because that's not so woke, being all about the money and being a capitalist. God, cool. Guess you're for sale. 1-800-465-8770. Text the keyword RANTS, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. To the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM of the Greater East Side. Secretary of State Kim Wyman has a challenger, someone my next guest calls a Democratic Party hack. Jeff Windmill is a lawyer with a partisan agenda, the exact kind of person, frankly, we don't need in office, certainly not in this position, according to Caleb Heimlich. Caleb is Washington State's Republican Party chairman, the pride of Puyallup, and he joins me now. Caleb, thank you so much for coming on.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Jason.
So Jeff Windmill has announced he is going to challenge Kim Wyman. Who is Jeff Windmill?
Yeah, so his most recent job in 2018, he worked for the Washington State Democratic Party. And prior to that, he worked for two Democratic presidential campaigns. So as you read from our press release, he is literally a Democratic Party hack lawyer. He's been employed by campaigns or by the state Democratic Party to try to manipulate elections, to try and make sure that Democrats win. That's why donors donate to political parties or to campaigns. And so when they employ these lawyers, they're going in there to try and make sure their candidates win. So he is literally the most and one of the most biased people on earth. And he's running to be an elections administrator who's supposed to be fair and impartial. He has absolutely no elections experience. He's never worked for a county auditor, never worked for the Secretary of State. He's always worked for the Democratic Party or their candidates. So you contrast that with Kim Wyman, who was elected as a nonpartisan county auditor in Thurston County, has been elected Secretary of State and then reelected, has a real reputation for being a fair administrator, a fair arbiter. Those are the type of people that we want leading the elections department, not party hacks.
Yeah, and this is the second time in a row that Kim Wyman has been challenged by a party hack. Last time it was Tina Podlodowski, who ran a viciously disturbing campaign in how she was lying about Kim Wyman, putting out a whole bunch of nastiness. Tina Podlodowski is your Democratic counterpart. So, I mean, this is someone who clearly has a bias, and that's really why this is so important to defend Kim Wyman.
That's exactly right. So, yeah, as you said, in 2016, it was Tina Podlodowski who ran against Kim. Kim won by almost 10 points. I mean, it was 55-45. The voters clearly said, we want a Secretary of State that's fair, that doesn't have a partisan agenda. And then now we have somebody who literally worked for Tina Podlodowski in 2018 as he was employed by the state Democratic Party. You're right. It absolutely is critical. We hear it all the time. I'm sure some of your listeners are rightfully concerned about our elections process. And Kim is doing everything she can to clean up the voter rolls. Obviously, we need to get Republican majorities in the House and the Senate so we can pass some common sense legislation to make sure we're ensuring one person equals one vote. But putting Jeff Windmill in charge of our elections in Washington State is literally putting the fox in charge of the hen house. And it would be incredibly biased and unfair for years to come. And I know the voters of Washington State don't want that.
And it's not even just about being against Jeff Windmill. It's about being in favor of Kim Wyman, who has done such a tremendous job in office over the course of her two terms.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, here's a really well-respected leader who works well with all of the county auditors and does the job really well. And that's why she's very popular, and I'm very confident she'll be reelected. One more thing on Jeff. If you go to his website, it's all about President Trump. You'd think he was running for president. Just like Jay Inslee, the Democrats want to campaign on what's happening back in Washington, D.C. They don't want to talk about what's happening here in Washington State. That's really all they have. So it's just kind of another classic example of that.
Caleb Heimlich is the Washington State Republican Party chairman. Let's move on to talking about the governor's race. From the Republican side, how do you think it's shaping up?
Well, it will be interesting to see. I'm seeing a lot of people getting out active on social media. A lot of the different candidates are going around the state and having different events, which is great. I mean, that's what we want to see. We want to see grassroots people getting involved. I think the important thing, as we have talked about many times, is if you look at what Jay Inslee is tweeting about, he's tweeting about Democrat presidential debates. And he's paying attention to that. He's paying attention to the national level. He's still not doing his job. So at the end of the day, we're certainly focused on making sure we have a governor that wants the job, that's going to tackle homelessness, that's going to fight to keep taxes low, that's going to do something about our transportation system, and not just going to be tweeting and paying attention to what happens in our nation's capital. So I think we're seeing good things from all four of the candidates as they're getting out there, building their teams, and we'll see how it continues to play out.
Do you anticipate that there's going to be anybody else getting into the race on the Republican side?
I have not heard of any at this point, and so obviously there's still a year to go. But I am not aware of anybody besides the four that are out there, Joshua Fried, Senator Phil Fortunato, Lauren Culp, the chief of police over in Republic, and then Anton Sakharov. I believe you've had all mm-hmm. four on your show at different points, which we certainly appreciate you giving that platform to let them get out why they're running and what they can all do for the people of Washington State.
Yeah, it's all about equal time. And frankly, I'll have Jay Inslee on, but he doesn't respond to any of our requests. So I think he's a little bit scared of some of the questions he might guess.
Shocking.
Yeah, I know. Shocking. And here's something that I think is kind of interesting. And I don't know if it's just a strategy by Inslee to get more money, but there was, 17 days ago or so, he sent out a bunch of email blasts basically begging for money, saying, it's not in the bag. They're coming after me nationally. They want to boot me out of office. I mean, I don't know if we're going to get a lot of national dollars getting poured into this race to try to unseat Jay Inslee, but it does seem like he's getting desperate in that he's not gaining the momentum he thought he would get after a failed presidential campaign.
Yeah, I certainly think Jay is trying to leverage his national list because as part of running for president, you connect with donors, very few in his case, but he did connect with some across the country, and he's trying to get them to give to his campaign for governor. The other fascinating thing, and we're certainly, it's a high priority of ours to replace Attorney General Bob Ferguson. Mm-hmm. He was sending out emails, I think three or four at the end of September, saying, my well-funded NRA-backed Republican opponent is raising money and going to take me on. Well, so far, nobody is running against him. So he's fictionally created an opponent to try and motivate people to raise money. Having said that, we are talking to a couple individuals, and I do think we will have a strong candidate because we need an attorney general that's going to enforce the law. It's going to help clean up our streets, clean up our communities, and not be the partisan hack attorney that Bob Ferguson is, who's now sued the Trump administration 50 times. I mean, we need an attorney general that actually is going to do the job and serve our community instead of advancing his partisan agenda.
I'm sensing a trend in party hacks running for office and having positions of power on the Democratic side. My last question for you is, you know, obviously you and I are talking about 2020. Let's talk about what's coming up in just a month. When you look at these local races, whether we're talking about the Shoreline City Council or Bonnie Lake or the King County, Snohomish County Councils, when you look at these races, how much do you think is that a sort of a sign of what's to come in 2020 here?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think as we look at what's happening in Seattle and some of these in Spokane, we've got a competitive mayor's race and other communities across the state and the region. We are seeing a real concern about the status quo. And so I think the more people get out and express their frustration, their lack of confidence in the current leadership, that bodes well for us because the reality is whether it's the Seattle City Council, whether it's the Democrats in the state legislature, or whether it's Governor Inslee, they're all kind of cut from the same cloth and pursuing the same partisan agenda that is not serving our communities well. So as we look at those election results and see people coming out and voting for common sense, really conservative-based solutions, or you could call them reality-based solutions, things that actually work, programs that actually serve the community, that get people off the street, get people the help they need, then I think that does bode well for our partisan elections in 2020 that are going to be talking about those same issues when it comes to homelessness, traffic, taxation, everything else. So it really is a kind of an important build-up to that. And so obviously as ballots are getting mailed really today, tomorrow, I would encourage everybody to make sure they're educating themselves on their local elections, checking out those voter guides, and making sure you vote because it's important that your voice is heard.
And for a lot more on all of the elections that are happening and the work that the Washington State Republican Party is doing, WSRP.org, WSRP.org. Caleb Heimlich is the pride of Puyallup, and he is the chairman of the Washington State Republican Party. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jason.
Of course. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rand Show. President Trump just started a rally for his Keep America Great rally in Dallas. We're going to go and join the coverage live in process because we know in progress because we know that many outlets aren't going to cover it.
Our country is thriving and our nation is stronger than ever before. But the more America achieves, the more hateful and enraged these crazy Democrats become. Crazy. They're crazy. They're crazy. At stake in this fight is the survival of American democracy itself. Don't kid yourself. That's what they want. They are destroying this country, but we will never let it happen, not even close. For three straight years, radical Democrats have been trying to overthrow the results of a great, great election. Maybe, maybe the greatest election in the history of our country. And they want to oppose an extreme agenda. They cannot pass it, and they cannot win it at the ballot box. They're not going to win. They're not even going to. They won't come close in 2020. They know it. They know it. They're not going to win it. They say, let's see, what's another idea? What's another idea? How do we win this election? You know, I really don't believe anymore that they love our country. I don't believe it.
The live President Trump rally in Dallas, Texas tonight ahead of his 2020 re-election campaign.
Crazy Nancy. Think of that. That crazy Nancy, she is crazy. And Shifty Schiff, how about this guy? How about this guy? He makes up my conversation, which was perfect. He makes up my conversation. He sees what I said. It doesn't play well because it was perfect. So he made up a totally false conversation with the Ukrainian president. And we caught him cold. Everybody knew it anyway. See, we did one thing. You always have to do the unexpected. They never thought I'd release the conversation with the Ukrainian president.
Yeah.
I want to get him before Congress, and I want to see what he has to say. You know, they say he has immunity. Why would you have immunity for outright fraud? Why do you have immunity? Why? He's a fraud. We're fighting a campaign against leftists, socialists, and globalists who want to return to reckless wars, open borders, rampant crime, and totally disastrous one-way trade deals. We're changing that one around very quickly. They believe America is the world's piggy bank, and that your tax dollars should subsidize the economy, military, and defense of every other nation in the world but our own. It's not happening anymore. Our political opposition made its fortune selling out our nation and its citizens, and you know that's what's been happening, and that's why 2016 was so important, and that's why 2020, I can never say it's more important, but you know, it's like the roots of a tree. You plant a baby tree, it's got to catch. Get that extra time. We'll have more tax cuts. We'll have even, I'll tell you what, we have rebuilt our military. What we've done has never been done before.
President Trump live in Dallas.
Have betrayed our country, and that great betrayal is over. We are finally again, and we've been doing it now for almost 3 years. Can you believe we've been doing this for 3 years? Can you believe it? I've been a politician for 3 years. I can't believe that. I never thought I'd be called a politician. I don't like it, but it is what it is. But we're finally, again, putting America first.
Live coverage of the president in Dallas, Texas tonight as part of his Keep America Great series of rallies.
The radical Democrats want to destroy America as we know it. They want to indoctrinate our children and teach them that America is a sinful, wicked nation. You see that happening all the time. And I know it from personal experience. What they want to teach your kids, not good. They come home, Mommy, Daddy, this is what I learned. And you're going, oh, no, don't tell me. Let's get them into another school fast. They want to disarm law-abiding citizens. They want to take your guns away.
Remember, this is in Texas.
And they want to install far-left judges to shred our Constitution. It's not happening. They want to tear down symbols of faith and drive Christians and religious believers from the public square. They want to silence your voices on social media, and they want the government to censor, muzzle, and shut down conservative voices. You know that. If they didn't hate our country, they wouldn't be doing this to our country. They wouldn't be doing it because they know better. They know better. As an example, we're building a great wall along the southern border. And it's going up rapidly. Going up.
That's been President Trump live rally in Dallas, Texas. There is so many people there that they have a crowd viewing rally out, like a crowd viewing outside portion of this event, which I think is important to note because you keep hearing from a lot of folks on the media how unpopular the president is, and yet he's able to bring tens of thousands of people to a speech in a major venue where there's overflow. So perhaps some of the media outlets covering this not necessarily being fair, although when we say media outlets covering it outside of us and Fox News, you're not really getting that kind of coverage, including, by the way, other conservative talk radio stations in town. You've been listening to The Jason Rant Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really do appreciate it. Facebook.com/Jason Rant Show. Want to give me a follow? I'd appreciate it.